Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Let's talk about who's really blessed and who's not, and also who thinks they're blessed and who is not. Proverbs 30, verse 12 comes to mind. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Isn't it amazing how many times we see people claiming to be blessed while they have no semblance of the cross in their personal life? In fact, recently I saw a piece where a guy got arrested for some vile crime, and he had the word blessed on his shirt. And the false church is fully guilty of bearing false witness to the world and to their own members and their own prey, P-R-E-Y, talking about being blessed without the cross. Isn't that interesting? You know, there are going to be many who are going to bust hell wide open, all the while believing they're blessed. Isn't that amazing? And let me ask you, friend, are you truly blessed or cursed? Because you see, there's only one that decides to put the blessing on a person's life, and that's God Almighty. You can write blessed all over everything you wear and put a cross around your neck, you know, a necklace, and get tattoos with crosses. That doesn't make you blessed. In fact, if you're not obeying God, that makes you an utter fool. We must beware, saints, that we're not participating in the damnation of eternal souls via peddling a false gospel as a teacher, as one who shares the word. If you're putting out, shares these philosophies that you act like are Christians, you're going to be damned if they don't line up with the Word of God. We got a whole lot of affirmation without salvation going on, in particular on the social media platforms where you got all these young people on them, and that's fine, but you can see with each generation as you look at like Instagram. The only reason why I'm on Instagram is because I shoot scripture out on it. And I don't want social media on my telephone, but I do have Instagram because I use the Bible, King James Bible app, to shoot scripture, pure scripture out there on Instagram. But, you know, if I'm out and about and in waiting room or something, get on there as I put scripture on there. And also I see all of the flaky, foolish affirmations and, you know, people just telling people they're blessed and everything's going to get better. Really? Tell me about how everything's going to get better when you're telling lost people that everything's going to get better. It's going to get worse. The person right this moment suffering the greatest misery on earth is absolutely in total comfort compared to what hell is going to be like and how Jesus described eternal hell. And yet you're telling them and guaranteeing them and promising them that it's all going to get better just because time passes? Don't you realize that God has them suffering in their sins because He loves them and He's allowing it so that He can bring them to repentance? And yet you're telling them that without the gospel and without the convicting Ten Commandments of law, that everything's going to get better. Isn't that interesting? Can you please explain to me how torment with fire and brimstone, Revelation 14:10, is going to be a good thing? How about explaining to us how weeping and gnashing of teeth, quote unquote, Matthew 8:12, is going to be a better thing? That is, the eternal souls that are going to be tormented ruthlessly, brutally, for all eternity, consciously, irrevocably. How is that going to be anything good? How about no rest day or night forever and ever, Revelation 14:11? How about the description Jesus gave in Matthew 13:42, a furnace of fire with wailing? How is that going to be a good thing? A place of everlasting burning, Isaiah 33:14. How about death and hell being cast into the lake, the ocean that is of fire, Revelation 20:15? unquenchable fire, that is ferocious flames feeding upon the conscious bodies, spirit bodies of all who died without Christ. Mark 9:44. How about outer darkness?
Think about that. You put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see your hand. That's horrifying. And that's the reality of all those who have died already without Christ. They're already there in hell, suffering. As is the case, we read about when Christ taught about the rich man and Lazarus with utter details about hell in Luke 16. Also, 2 Thessalonians 1:9, hell is a place of everlasting destruction, a place of sorrows or seething remorse and despair, unending, Psalm 18:5. There's no second chance, friends. Luke 16:26. And I want to caution you that if you're doing anything to comfort people spiritually and in their future that aren't even saved, or the ones that think they are and are living in sin aren't living according as Christ has prescribed in his word, that you're guilty of being a false teacher. You're bidding Godspeed to them, bearing false witness against the Lord and peddling a false gospel. And God's going to judge you with them. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. We got to be careful that we are living and preaching the original gospel. And if you're not in the Word of God, you don't know whether or not you are preaching the original gospel. A lot of these young people are just peddling what their little phony pastors have taught them and modeled to them that basically run these entertainment centers we call churches these days. And it's never more evident than when you're on a platform like Instagram, where everything's encouraging and, you know, everybody's getting their ears tickled. Everything's going to get better. I mean, I could pull it up right now as we're talking and show you all kinds of stuff on there. There's never anything about repentance or the danger of your sin taking you to hell. There's nothing about judgment. There's nothing about holiness. There's basically hardly any scripture on there. And when they do post scripture, it's out of these fake, corrupted, so-called Bibles. Unbelievable apostasy. Just as Paul warned that we are to preach the word, he told Timothy, and God's telling us through that, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, to preach the word, be instant. First verse, he says, you're going to give account to God for whether or not you preach the word. And so he said, I charge thee before God, before whom you will give account. And I'm asking you to consider, my friend, as I must also, do I want to stand and give account for the gospel I'm preaching? It better be the gospel, the original gospel, and you better know it yourself. Some of you might remember the message I did. I encourage you to look it up. It's a good one. Let's see if I can come up with the name. You can search it out on safeguardyoursoul.com with that older guy. When I was a young believer, he was a good brother, man. I wonder if he's already with Jesus. But he looked at me one day at a Christian conference and he said, hey, young man, you better preach this gospel just like it's written. Do you understand me? And I love that. I remember it to this day. That was a godly man. He charged me to preach the gospel just like it's written. Think about that for a minute. Man, that hit me like a bolt of lightning. It was something I'll never forget. That was several decades ago. This dude lit me up and launched me out of a cannon, per se. As he looked across the room, eye to eye, man to man, older man to younger man, both disciples of Christ. And with stern, piercing eyes, he commanded and he declared and he charged me. He said, you preach this gospel just like it's written. Do you understand me, young man? I loved it. It was an admonition that will never leave me. This was a big, strong biker guy with piercing blue eyes. And he wasn't playing. And he was preaching. He was charging the body of Christ as Paul charged Timothy to beware that he's going to be judged by God for what he's preaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Then he says, preach the word. Meditate on that. Preach the word. Just the word. Not little sweet little sayings of affirmation like Joel Osteen and all that pansy stuff that he's peddling. going straight to hell and bringing many with him. Is that who you want to emulate? Okay, you need to get saved if that's who you're trying to emulate. I can tell you that. And I could name a lot of other ones just like him. All of these little would-be pastors on the local level trying to follow his business model and church the unchurched, which is not a biblical goal at all. See, we're to preach the gospel. We're to throw down the gauntlet of the gospel. For example, Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." In other words, they're going to hell. It's a life or death message. People are living in sin, and you're out there telling them it's going to be okay. That makes you a false prophet. So many today use the hashtag and tout, "I'm blessed." Yeah, you're blessed. You're living like the devil, and you're blessed. You're not blessed by God. Putting on a t-shirt or touting that you're blessed doesn't make you blessed. It makes you delusional. That doesn't mean you're blessed, unless it's Satan blessing you, because you're bowing in the knee to him. So many that claim to be blessed are not even born again. They're not presently abiding in Christ. You got to be born again and presently abiding in Christ to be blessed. Let's talk about that. Abiding in Christ means you're walking with him on his terms and no other. Otherwise, you're bearing false witness against and bringing reproach to the Almighty by falsely claiming that you're serving him. Who are you blessed by, God or Satan? Satan promises and has limited power to give this world's goods to those who bow down to worship him. You got a lot of these people saying that. They're a part of the Illuminati. See, that's how Jesus was tempted by Satan. He promised to give him the riches of this world in Luke chapter 4 and the things of this world. Satan will bring those to you if you serve him, if you bow your knee to him. But in the end, God's in control, and you're going to be crashed down violently and forever, irrevocably, into the domain of the damned, where you will suffer consciously forever. Regardless of what an individual claims, every individual who is walking in darkness and refusing to repent is cursed of the Lord, not blessed. John 3:19-21, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation," here it is, "that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." See, instead of repenting, they want to cover up. They want to hide in their darkness. Jesus says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance is a gospel imperative. And all of these fake little light Bibles that are total corruptions, it's time to get back to the King James Bible, friends. They have removed, even the New King James has removed the word repent over 40 times. And then Jesus says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Are you a man who tries to cover your sins, or do you confess them, admitting and acknowledging that you committed them? That's a big question there. First off, if you're not genuinely born again, that's synonymous with regenerated, Titus 3:5-6. You're still a sinner in the eyes of a holy God, who is the judge of your eternal soul, and you are as sure for hell as if you were already there. Now, it doesn't have to remain that way. We're not finished this message yet. You can get saved today. And if you claim to be a follower of Christ and are condoning people in their sins instead of calling them to Christ to be forgiven, you're a false teacher. And the Bible says their damnation slumbereth night. Not include speaking specifically of false teachers and false prophets in 2 Peter 2:1-3. Becoming absolutely honest is a non-negotiable imperative to being right with God and spending eternity with Christ. Proverbs 28:13 should be memorized by every true disciple of Jesus. It says, "He that covereth," or tries to hide, "his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Let me say it again. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso," or whosoever, "confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." Only those who confess, acknowledge, admit, confess, and forsake the sins of this world are going to have mercy from God, period. Proverbs 28:13. following Jesus. By the way, religion is the most deceptive cloak that people hide behind. That's the biggest deception, the self-righteousness, the fulfilling of religious things, and having a form of godliness. That's the most deceived person in the world, because they think they're right with God and they're not. Just like the Pharisees of Christ's day, where they clean the outside of the cup, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones and all kinds of evil, Matthew 23. Following Jesus truly requires doing so on his stated terms and no other. And this is why he gave us his word in tangible form in the Bible, which is the very communication of the thoughts of his heart, Psalm 33:11. So the question remains, are you truly blessed or are you cursed? And again, God alone determines who's blessed and cursed. Wearing a t-shirt or a necklace or putting on a tattoo, which is ridiculous, doesn't make you blessed. Saying you're blessed doesn't make you blessed. Either God's putting his blessing on you or he's not. Proverbs 3:33, the curse, that's the opposite of the blessing. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Are you blessed or are you cursed? Jesus says, Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, here it is again, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared, not for us originally, but for the devil and his angels. And yet Jesus is saying here that those who claim to know him and don't have the corresponding fruit in their life of an abiding relationship with him are going to hear from him, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting, in other words, it lasts forever, it's unending, fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Many today, many tell that they are blessed by saying I'm blessed, or wearing something outwardly and external, but that doesn't make them blessed. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if, and by the way, that's abiding with him and in him on his terms, which is the cross, the crucified life. If you claim to be a Christian and aren't learning the daily cross that he gave from the onset throughout the gospel, the gospels, especially the first three, you're not following Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're following along with the so-called church that you go to, where in 99.9% of the cases, the cross is nowhere to be found in the modern church, and it's at the center of the original gospel. So you're following false teachers, and you're doing it willingly. You're willingly ignorant because you're not in the Word yourself. Anybody in the Word that goes to, that's foolish enough to go and blinded enough to go to these modern churches begins to scratch his head. You read the King James Bible every morning when you get up, and you're going to start scratching your head at what's not being preached in that phony little entertainment center you call church. And you're going to come out of it. You're going to come out from among them. Jesus says, if, that means it's conditional, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, Jesus is promising the blessing of answered prayer to all who truly abide in him. You can pray, friend, till you're blue in the face. Jesus is not going to answer your prayer. The only prayer he's going to answer for you is that of repentance. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:9 that if you despise the law of the word of God, your prayer is an abomination to God. Thinking you're going to have him answer your prayers while you're not obeying him, that's that utter foolishness. Abiding in Christ is abiding in his word, his terms, and conditions. Let me give you a hint. God is not going to bless your life until you repent and obey him, period. 1 John 5:14 conveys that God's blessings are conditional, not unconditional. But again, this is never taught in the modern church. Notice 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And here's why. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. There's a reason God blesses certain people and not others. Certain people are abiding with Jesus on his terms. others, not their own or any others, or any other false gospel, which is no gospel at all. Notice, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. If you're not keeping the word of God and doing those things that according to the word of God are pleasing to the Lord, you have no basis for saying that you're blessed. You're fooling no one but yourself. David wrote this, Psalm 18:20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, or my life, that is, hath he recompensed me. Paul wrote Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Not only is the Lord not going to bless the life that is disobedient, those that are disobedient are going to bust hell wide open, all the while claiming that they're blessed. Notice Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do with the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Walking with God and being with Christ eternally is contingent upon you loving him. And when you truly love him, you're going to obey him, not yourself or the dictates of your sinful nature. Flashpoint here, friends. You are not going to serve God on any other terms but his. And you're not going to be in heaven if you don't. So it's best to get honest today, my friends, in repentance now, before it's too late. Those who are truly the Lord's pore over, they read, they study, apply, and obey God's word because they love him. And his commandments are not grievous to them. They delight in him. 1 John 5:3. Christ is truly their first love. He's first in their hearts and lives. All others who aren't serving God on his terms are building their houses on sinking sand. That's what Jesus taught in the end of Matthew chapter 7. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. Notice 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, that's synonymous to say, I'm blessed. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see, any heathen can put on a necklace with a cross, or get a tattoo with a cross, or with the word blessed, or wear a shirt that says blessed. That doesn't make you a child of God. Again, recently I saw this guy that got arrested for some heinous crime. Got what it is, what it was. But he had a shirt on saying he's blessed. Isn't that interesting? Why is this going on? Why do we see this happening around us, and people preaching affirmation to people unconditionally, most of who are living in sin? They're not living according, they're not born again, and if they were born again, they're backslidden, many of them. Yet there's no conditions from the Bible being taught. You see, the modern church is lame. Their message is false. It's another gospel, and it's not dropping the gospel gauntlet that we read about in the original gospel and on the pages of Holy Scripture. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. These people are preaching another gospel. And Paul says they're accursed, Galatians 1. So the flakes who keep indiscriminately putting out the promises, guarantees, and yet don't put out the divinely stated conditions, they're misleading others. Appropriating the blessings of God's promises requires meeting the conditions. Anybody who doesn't meet God's conditions is not going to be saved and is not going to be blessed. Doesn't matter how blessed they think they are, they're cursed. At this truth, the righteous rejoice and they delight in Christ, while the counterfeits are going to whine and balk. You're preaching a work salvation. I'm just simply communicating what the Bible teaches. In God's word, the word if denotes conditions. Listen to this. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. 2 Chronicles 15:2. Remember, number second, let's see, of Uzziah, King Uzziah, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26:5, listen to this. I love this. Y'all can memorize this one. 2 Chronicles 26:5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, when was God making him to prosper? Only as long as he sought the Lord. You see, friend, if you're not seeking the face of the Lord, he's not your first love. At best, you're lukewarm. All you have is religion. You have a mere form
of godliness, but you really love yourself. You yourself is not crucified. You love yourself. You don't love Jesus. See, if you love Jesus, you're going to hate, in comparison, you're going to hate yourself and all others, including family members. Matthew 10, Luke 14, in comparison to your love for Jesus, that's when he's your first love. Otherwise, Revelation 2, 4, 5, you must repent and return to Christ and to your first works, or you will not be saved from the fires of eternal damnation, no matter what false gospel or false teacher promised you that you would. See, that's why some of you are peddling this false teaching, false gospel that we're talking about here on this message, because it's been peddled to you and you didn't love God enough. Just admit it. To study his word yourself and obey his word, for which you will give account. You're going to give account for whether or not you knew and obeyed his word. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Check out Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It's a choice. That verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Those who love him obey him, period. Jesus says, if you love me,
keep my commandments, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Possessing the promised land of heaven requires loving and obeying God. Godless men gloat in their rebellion while they face the irrevocable sentence of eternal damnation in hell, shaking their fist in the face of God, basically. Remember, again, Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Notice it's in their own, not in God's eyes. They're pure in their own eyes, but yet they're not washed from their filthiness. Jesus taught this way in Luke 12, 4 and 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. See, men can only kill the physical body. They can't harm the soul. So don't be afraid of them. Then he says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear him, that's God, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Perhaps today is your day, my friend, to have a come to Jesus meeting, to burn the t-shirt, to trash the cross necklace, and to get right with God, and to let the glorious light of Christ shine in and through your personal life. That's how God ordains his witness to beam forth from his true disciples, and not by wearing outer garb. It's best to take the bumper sticker off, rip the cross off your neck, cover the tattoo, burn the shirt, and let your light so shine before men. That's what Jesus taught. Let the light of Christ beam through your countenance and your spirit and your actions and your love of God filling you through communion with him on his terms. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's how the witness of the gospel is seen in the earth, through those who truly serve the Lord. The extent of so many today, quote unquote, serving God is their little trip to this so-called church building, which, as we said earlier, is more of a candy entertainment center on Sunday morning. It doesn't reflect the original gospel, which is certainly not being preached in the vast majority of so-called church houses or physical buildings called churches these days. We live in the final days where there's a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of God Amos prophesied, Amos chapter 8, verse 11. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, said the time will come when they will not endure or hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. See, they're not dead to self. There's no cross in their life. They're full of the love of self. After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ear. In other words, they want to sit down and listen to people that are never going to call them to truly repent as Christ did, and look them square in the eyes and say, Jesus commanded you to lay down your life, be crucified with him daily, and follow him. When is the last time you heard a so-called minister, somebody claiming to be representing Christ, square you off and look you eye to eye and tell you that not them, but Jesus, the one you will give account to, commanded you? It's a mandate. It's imperative. No, you're not following him if you're not doing this. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. That right there, because most of us can't list one person that's ever told us that. See, a man is either right with God on his terms, or he is deceived. He's hell-bound. He is a counterfeit. God is not obligated to bless anyone who isn't in his non-negotiably perfect stated will. Now, this could be your day. This is your day to cease following and regurgitating, peddling a false gospel. Today's your day to say, Lord, here I am. Change me and send me. I repent. Let's pray, friends. Perhaps you'd be inclined to pray this prayer today. It'll be in the written form of this message, which is entitled Busting Hell Wide Open on safeguardyoursoul.com. There is a search box. You may already right now be on that page, but this message will be all over social media and the internet. So maybe you're not on that page, but if you want to be, just go to safeguardyoursoul.com and put in the words busting or busting hell. It'll come up. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in our sins, acknowledging that we've been evil and wicked in your holy eyes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you here and now to forgive our iniquities and sins and actions and how we've complied with and bore false witness against you by participating in and bidding Godspeed to a false gospel. We are 100% fully guilty. Please forgive me of my sins, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Wash me in his precious blood afresh. Set my life apart. Sanctify my life before you, O God. Here and now I denounce all evil and declare that I am all yours. And thank you, Lord, that you're all mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for washing me afresh in your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, thanks for listening. God bless you. Please share this message. Also, please consider praying for the supply and the fruitfulness of this outreach in this last hour. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.